host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
But I just want to congratulate. I think you're going to have, hopefully, a really great mayor. The better he does, the happier I am, I will say. There's no difference in party. There's no difference in anything. And we're going to be helping him to make everybody's dream come true, having a strong and very safe New York. And congratulations, Mr. Mayor.
I appreciated the meeting with the president. And as he said, it was a productive meeting focused on a place of shared admiration and love, which is New York City, and the need to deliver affordability to New Yorkers.
President Trump and New York's Mayor-elect Zoran Mamdani met Friday for the first time at the White House. While Trump had previously called Mamdani a communist lunatic, he struck a very different tone on Friday. We'll get response. Then the UN climate summit, COP30, has ended in Belém, Brazil. A deal was reached, but it makes no mention of phasing out fossil fuels.
Adaptation alone and the finances for adaptation are not sufficient if we don't deal with the problem. The root cause of this problem is fossil fuels.
We'll go to Brazil and Washington, D.C. for response. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Generals are being held in Gaza today. Funerals are being held in Gaza today after Israeli airstrikes killed at least 24 people on Saturday, despite the U.S.-brokered ceasefire that began October 10th. Gaza's government media office says Israel's violated the truce nearly 500 times in 44 days. Meanwhile, UNICEF reports Israel's killed 2 children every day during the ceasefire. At least 67 children have been killed in Gaza in recent weeks. This is Ahmed Abu Shawish, whose relatives were killed in Israeli airstrikes over the weekend.
What's the reason? Nobody knows. Aren't we supposed to be in a truce? We're looking at the house. We've been trying to forget this scene for a month. We are starting to go back to our normal life. How are we supposed to go back to normal life? We are back to martyrs, back to destruction, back to injuries. What's the reason? We're confused. No one knows.
Meanwhile, in Lebanon, an Israeli airstrike on a Beirut suburb Sunday killed 5 people and wounded 28. According to the Lebanese health ministry, Israel claims it assassinated Hezbollah's number 2, the acting chief of staff. The attack comes despite a U.S.-brokered ceasefire between Hezbollah and Israel went into effect last year.
There is a ceasefire under international auspices led primarily by the United States of America. Since then, and since the announcement of the agreement and the halt of military operations, the Israeli enemy has remained persistent and addicted to continuing its aggression, targeting buildings, people, and civilians. And you know that this area is a civilian area.
The U.S.'s top military officer will visit Puerto Rico today as a U.S. Navy warship dispatches to the Caribbean. The visit by General Dan Kane, the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, comes as the Trump administration set to formally designate Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his government allies as members of a foreign terrorist organization, the Cartel de los Soles. The entity is not actually a cartel, is instead a reference to military officers and officials allegedly involved in corruption and other illegal activities in Venezuela. Reuters is reporting the U.S. is also considering a new phase of covert operations in Venezuela. It would be a major escalation after U.S. airstrikes on alleged drug boats in recent weeks have killed more than 80 people. Meanwhile, 6 airlines have canceled their flights to Venezuela after the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, warned of a worsening security situation and heightened military activity in the region. U.S., Ukrainian, and European officials are meeting in Geneva, Switzerland, to discuss the U.S. proposal to end Russia's war on Ukraine. The 28-point plan was negotiated by U.S. and Russian officials without the involvement of Ukraine. Reuters reports European negotiators submitted a modified version of the plan that reverses some of the proposed limits to the size of Ukraine's military, as well as some territorial concessions. On Sunday, the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, once again praised the United States and President Trump after Trump wrote on social media, quote, "Ukraine leadership has expressed zero gratitude for our efforts," unquote. Meanwhile, Russia's continued deadly attacks on Ukrainian civilians, including a drone strike on Kharkiv on Sunday that killed four people and wounded 17 others. New York City Mayor Alex Orhan Mamdani met with President Trump at the Oval Office on Friday. During the meeting, President Trump repeatedly praised Mamdani and said he would feel, quote, "very confident that he can do a very good job," unquote. President Trump also said he would feel comfortable living in New York under Mamdani's leadership. Speaking to reporters, Mamdani maintained his past criticisms of President Trump.
Are you affirming that you think President Trump is a fascist?
I've spoken about...
That's okay. You can just say yes.
Okay. Yeah.
It's easier. It's easier than explaining it. I don't mind.
On Sunday, Zoran Mamdani doubled down on his views that President Trump is a fascist and a despot in an interview with NBC's Meet the Press.
Do you think that President Trump is a fascist?
And after President Trump said that, I said yes. And
so you do?
And that's something that I've said in the past. I say it today. And I think what I appreciated about the conversation that I had with the president was that we were not shy about the places of disagreement about the politics that has brought us to this moment.
We'll have more on Mayor-elect Mamdani's meeting with President Trump after headlines. Several Democratic lawmakers have filed police complaints after President Trump called for them to be put to death for what he called seditious behavior. Trump's threat came after six lawmakers who are veterans of the military or CIA called on active duty service members to refuse illegal orders. Congressmembers Jason Crow, Chris DeLuzio, and Chrissy Houlihan told the U.S. Capitol Police that Trump's call for their execution has undermined their personal safety while putting the lives of congressional staffers at risk. Crow released audio of death threats phoned into his offices, while DeLuzio reported his congressional offices in western Pennsylvania received bomb threats. On Friday, Trump doubled down on his threats, accusing the Democrats of, quote, "sedition at the highest level," unquote. President Trump denied federal disaster aid to thousands of Chicago residents, even though his administration documented extraordinary damage from two major storms this summer. That's according to Politico, which reports it's the first time since at least 2007 that any president has refused to help residents recover from such extensive damage to their homes. Trump's denial stunned former FEMA officials. It comes after Trump said Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson should be jailed over their resistance to Trump's surge of federal immigration agents and National Guard forces into the Chicago region. In Oregon, federal immigration agents forced a 17-year-old high school student from his vehicle and abducted him as the teen took a lunch break Friday. Video shows masked ICE agents smashed the driver's side window of a car being driven by Christian Jimenez, a senior at McMinnville High School, who told them he was a U.S. citizen, to which an agent replied, "Get out of the car and I don't care." Jimenez's brother says the teen was racially profiled and injured by shattered glass. He was taken to an ICE facility in Portland and released later that day. He's been charged with interference or obstruction of an investigation. The U.S. Supreme Court has temporarily restored Texas's new congressional map that's designed to allow Republicans to win up to 5 additional House seats in next year's midterm elections. On Friday, Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito paused a lower court ruling which stated the new map was an illegal racial gerrymander. The high court has asked plaintiffs to respond by today before a final ruling on the congressional map. In Nigeria, 50 kidnapped students escaped their captors on Friday after gunmen stormed a Catholic boarding school and abducted over 300 children and 12 teachers last week. The Christian Association of Nigeria says the children who managed to escape have been reunited with their families. Now, a major military-led search and rescue mission is underway to find the remaining children and teachers. Last week, gunmen stormed another boarding school and abducted 25 schoolgirls and killed the vice principal. The recent kidnappings have prompted officials to close 47 schools in northern Nigeria. President Bola Tinubu has also ordered the hiring of 30,000 more police officers, but Nigerians are calling for officials to take more action.
We've seen our old women being kidnapped, being robbed in this country that we call Giants of Africa. It's so bad. And the current government, they are not doing anything to what is happening.
The G20 summit in South Africa concluded Sunday. It was the first time the meeting was held in the African continent. The U.S. boycotted the meeting, citing false allegations that South Africa is mistreating its white minority Afrikaners. Leaders gathered at the summit adopted a joint declaration to address the climate crisis and other global challenges without input from the United States. The White House claimed South Africa had, quote, weaponized their G20 presidency to undermine the G20's founding principles, unquote. Meanwhile, Brazil's president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, declared the G20 summit in South Africa a success.
President Trump has been demonstrating this for several months now. He has already withdrawn from UNESCO and the World Trade Organization. He is attempting to preach the end of multilateralism in practice, trying to strengthen unilateralism. I believe multilateralism will prevail.
President Lula had flown in from Brazil. In Belém, Brazil, the UN climate summit, known as COP30, has concluded without an agreement to phase out the use of coal, oil and gas, which are by far the largest contributors to global climate change. More than 80 countries had supported a transition away from fossil fuels, but they were blocked by oil producing nations, including Russia, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. The U.S. boycotted the summit. This is Irene Velez Torres, Colombia's environment minister.
The root cause of this problem is fossil fuels. How are we dealing with that? How are we going to come out from this COP to say and to tell the people that we deny the most basic scientific truth, which is that the fossil fuels are the cause of more than 80% of the emissions that are generating climate change?
The COP30 agreement also makes no new commitments to halt deforestation, nor does it address global meat consumption, another major driver of global heating. More than 1,600 fossil fuel industry lobbyists and 300 industrial agriculture lobbyists attended COP30. Meanwhile, the Trump administration did not send a formal delegation after the White House in January withdrew the U.S. from the Paris Climate Agreement for the second time. We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast. And former Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro has been arrested after he tampered with his ankle monitor while under house arrest. The arrest was ordered by Brazil's Supreme Court Justice Alexandre de Moraes over fears Bolsonaro would attempt to escape his compound days before he's heading to prison. Back in September, Bolsonaro was sentenced to 27 years in prison for plotting a military coup against Brazil's current president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. Coming up, President Trump hosts New York Mayor Alek Zoran Mamdani at the White House. We'll air excerpts of the meeting and get response. Stay with us. street parade celebrating Jair Bolsonaro's arrest in Sao Paulo's Santa Cecilia neighborhood this weekend. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Trump and New York mayor-elect, the Democratic Socialist Orhan Mamdani, met Friday at the White House in the Oval Office for the first time. Over the past several months, both Trump and Mamdani have harshly criticized each other. Trump's called Mamdani a communist lunatic and a, quote, Jew hater. Trump had also threatened to send the National Guard to New York and cut off billions of dollars in federal funding to New York City if Mamdani was elected. Meanwhile, Mamdani has described Trump as a fascist and a despot. Many of Trump's supporters had criticized Trump for inviting Mamdani, who will soon become New York's first Muslim and South Asian mayor. The far-right conspiracy theorist Laura Loomer said it was, quote, wild to allow a jihadist communist to stand behind the president's desk in the Oval Office, unquote. But President Trump struck a very different tone as he openly embraced Mamdani's effort to make New York City more affordable. These are excerpts from their press conference in the Oval Office.
We've just had a great meeting, a really good, very productive meeting. We have one thing in common. We want this city of ours that we love to do very well. And I wanted to congratulate the mayor. He really ran an incredible race against, you know, a lot of smart people, starting with the early primaries against some very tough people, very smart people. And he beat him, and he beat him easily. And I congratulated him. And we talked about some things in very strong common, like housing and getting housing built and food and prices and the price of oil is coming way down. Anything I do is going to be good for New York. If I can get prices down, it's good for New York. And we've got them down, way down from last year. We have, as you know, I've been saying to a lot of people, Walmart said that Thanksgiving this year is exactly 25% less than last year. So that's good for New York, good for everybody. But I just want to congratulate. I think you're going to have, hopefully, a really great mayor. The better he does, the happier I am, I will say. There's no difference in party. There's no difference in anything. And we're going to be helping him to make everybody's dream come true, having a strong and very safe New York. And congratulations, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Please.
I appreciated the meeting with the president. And as he said, it was a productive meeting focused on a place of shared admiration and love, which is New York City, and the need to deliver affordability to New Yorkers, the 8.5 million people who call our city their home, who are struggling to afford life in the most expensive city in the United States of America. We spoke about rent, we spoke about groceries, we spoke about utilities, we spoke about the different ways in which people are being pushed out, and I appreciated the time with the president, I appreciated the conversation, I look forward to working together to deliver that affordability for New Yorkers.
Mr. Mamdani, it sounds like you had a productive discussion, but just days ago you referred to President Trump as a despot who betrayed the country. You said you would be his worst nightmare and accused him of having a fascist agenda. Are you planning to retract any of these remarks in order to improve your relationship?
I think both President Trump and I, we are very clear about our positions and our views. And what I really appreciate about the president is that the meeting that we had focused not on places of disagreement, which there are many, and also focused on the shared purpose that we have in serving New Yorkers. And frankly, that is something that could transform the lives of the 8.5 million people who are currently struggling under a cost of living crisis, with 1 in 4 living in poverty. And the meeting came back again and again to what it could look like to lift those New Yorkers out of struggle and start to deliver them a city that they could do more than just struggle to afford it, but actually start to live in it.
And I've been called much worse than a despot, so it's not that insulting. Maybe I think he'll change his mind after we get to working together.
You threatened to send federal troops to New York City. You both have differences when it comes to ICE agents in New York City. Mr. Mamdani, you called ICE a rogue government entity. I wonder how you reconcile your differences on both of those issues.
Well, I think we're going to work them out. And I think that if we have known murderers and known drug dealers and some very bad people, you know, we want to get them out. And the mayor wants to have peace. We discussed this at great length, actually, maybe more than anything else. He wants to have a safe New York. Ultimately, a safe New York is going to be a great New York.
I want to ask the mayor-elect about a House resolution just passed overwhelmingly to condemn socialism, including with 86 Democrats, all of House Dem leadership, and the minority leader, Hakeem Jeffries, despite his endorsement of you. What's your reaction to that?
I have to be honest with you, I focused very little on resolutions, frankly. I've been focusing
on socialism.
I understand. I think the focus is on the work at hand. I can tell you I am someone who is a democratic socialist. I've been very open about that. And I know there might be differences about ideology, but the place of agreement is the work that needs to be done to make New York City affordable. That's what I look forward to.
And I want to clarify your answer to Stephen Nelson. Mm-hmm. He asked about your comment calling the president a fascist, and your answer was, both President Trump and I have been clear about our positions and our views. Mm-hmm. Are you affirming that you think President Trump is a fascist?
I've spoken about...
That's okay. You can just say
okay.
Yes. So. Okay. Yeah. It's easier. It's easier than explaining it. I don't mind.
Excerpts of President Trump and New York Mayor-elect Zohran Mamdani at the White House Friday. On Sunday, Mayor-elect Mamdani appeared on Meet the Press. He was interviewed by Kristen Welker.
Mr. Mayor-elect, just to be very clear, do you think that President Trump is a fascist?
And after President Trump said that, I said yes.
And so you do?
And that's something that I've said in the past. I say it today. And I think what I appreciated about the conversation that I had with the president was that we were not shy about the places of disagreement about the politics that has brought us to this moment. And we also wanted to focus on what it could look like to deliver on a shared analysis of an affordability crisis for New Yorkers.
You've also said in the past that President Trump has engaged in a, quote, attack on our democracy. You've called him a despot. Do you still believe President Trump is a threat to the democracy?
Everything that I've said in the past, I continue to believe. And that's the thing that I think is important in our politics, is that we don't shy away from where we have disagreements, but we understand what it is that brings us to that table. Because I'm not coming into the Oval Office to make a point or make a stand. I'm coming in there to deliver for New Yorkers. And a few weeks ago, I was asked by a reporter three words to describe myself. I said New York City. And that's what animated that conversation. How do we deliver for the people of New York City?
We're joined right now by Ross Barkin, journalist, author, columnist for The New York Magazine. His latest book is Fascism or Genocide: How a Decade of Political Disorder Broke American Politics. His most recent piece for New York Magazine is titled Zohran Mamdani is a Mayor for a New Age in New York City. He's now writing a book for Random House on Mamdani's rise. In 2018, Ross Barkin ran for New York State Senate. Zohran Mamdani served as his campaign manager. Ross Barkin, welcome back to Democracy Now! You know Zohran Mamdani very well. Talk about the significance of this meeting at the White House on Friday.
Well, it was obviously a remarkable meeting. You, going in, don't expect them to be so chummy. And the tableau was certainly jarring. But I would say there were reasons that they were able to get along. I do think Trump respects Mamdani because he's been successful, because he's built a movement behind him, because he's charismatic, because he subverted his political establishment. Trump did the same thing on the Republican side. So I do think Trump has less respect for establishment Democrats like Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries. He looks to Mamdani. He sees someone who is new. He's a fresh face. They're certainly going to battle. There's no doubt they cannot be friends forever. But it was notable, and it does help New York City if Trump is less antagonistic towards Mamdani. The idea is to have Trump do as little damage as possible to New York City. That was the goal of the meeting. So far for Mamdani, so good. We'll see what happens next.
I mean, it's very interesting. I want to go back to President Trump's meeting with Mamdani.
We discussed ICE and New York City, and I spoke about how the laws that we have in New York City allow for New York City government to speak to the federal administration for about 170 serious crimes. The concerns that many New Yorkers have are around the enforcement of immigration laws on New Yorkers across the five boroughs, and most recently we're talking about a mother and her two children, how this has very little to do with what that is.
What we did is we discussed crime, mm-hmm. more than ICE per se. We discussed crime, and he doesn't want to see crime, and I don't want to see crime, and I have very little doubt that we're not going to get along on that issue. He wants to, and he said some things that were very interesting as to housing construction, and he wants to see houses go up. He wants to see a lot of houses created, a lot of apartments built, etc. And, you know, we actually people would be shocked. But I want to see the same thing.
So let's unpack this. From the threat of sending ICE agents and federal troops into New York, whether you think this is going to happen, to the issue of housing and affordability and whether or not they see the same thing. President Trump saying he could see living in the New York City of Mayor Mamdani.
Well, I've long thought that Trump was going to send the National Guard into New York City under Mamdani administration. One thing about this meeting is that could have changed that seemingly inevitable future. We'll find out. I mean, Trump is extremely mercurial, so one can't really know. But if Mamdani can successfully keep the National Guard out of New York City, that's certainly a victory for him. As for the ICE incursions, I mean, that's going to be fascinating because the real vicious use of ICE has been a hallmark of Trump's second term under Tom Homan. So I still find it hard to believe ICE will simply retreat out of New York City. But if Mamdani has a dialogue with Trump, perhaps New York can avoid the fate of a Chicago, where ICE has really been wreaking havoc day in and day out, and other cities as well. And if they continue to have this dialogue, if they continue to have a relationship, perhaps ICE is less determined to wantonly arrest people. I still don't know if Mamdani will be able to keep Trump at bay in that way. It's just hard to know. But certainly the meeting was productive. Then in terms of housing, it's very interesting. I mean, Trump is a developer at heart, so he understands the language of building, that you have to build more housing. I don't know if that means the federal government will be helpful in any way. I don't really expect it. But it showed there was some commonality there.
So let me ask you about what happened right before their meeting at the White House. You had Congress voting on a bipartisan resolution with scores of Democrats joining, condemning the, quote, horrors of socialism. It had been introduced, this resolution, about a month ago, but the Republicans decided to bring it on the floor Friday morning. The response that Zoran Mamdani had to this is that he's a democratic socialist. Talk about the meaning of this and the scores of Democrats, including the House Minority Leader, Hakeem Jeffries, who represents Brooklyn, who just recently endorsed Zoran Mamdani, joining in the condemnation.
Well, Mamdani has been incredibly accommodating to Hakeem Jeffries, who might end up the House Speaker in 2027, even though Jeffries offered only a tepid endorsement and has not been terribly helpful to him, to be frank. But I think Mamdani wants to build a broad coalition. He wants the help of the governor to implement his agenda. Kathy Hochul and Hakeem Jeffries are close, so I think it's important to maintain those ties for him to deliver on his agenda. I mean, the reality is that the Republicans who really wanted to upset or discombobulate Mamdani failed. They also failed to move Trump fully into their column. You know, Trump flattered Mamdani and praised for him, and in a way created complications for their 2026 midterm strategy, which is to tie all Democrats to Mamdani. So on one hand, you have a lot of centrist Democrats who are never going to understand Mamdani's appeal or don't want to, and they're going to run away from the term socialism. As we saw with Mamdani, at least in New York City, one can run towards the term and win. So he, you know, he's an accommodating person. He's not going to attack. He's going to try to build coalitions. That's what he's doing right now. But we shall see what the future holds.
Ross Barkin, what do you make of NYCDSA, that's the Democratic Socialists of America, just voting not to endorse City Council member Chiosse's challenge against New York Congressmember Hakeem Jeffries, with more than half, 52% of DSA members rejecting him?
Well, the reality is